Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, let's see. Time for Fast Track. One side of the coin, John. We've got the wheels on the bus go round, round, round. The doors on the bus go slam, 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 or the doors on the bus go, what's the other one?
Open and shut.
Open and shut. Call it in the air.
Yours is more representative of 2020, so let's impose slam, slam, slam.
Slam, slam, slam go the doors.
Slam, slam, slam is the winner.
All right, Ireland, go.
Fast Track.
All right, sportscaster Brian Anderson, who's a really good sportscaster, was on Kyle Koster's podcast this week. Anderson is one of the TV voices of the Milwaukee Brewers. He revealed the secret of what Vin Scully ate when he was broadcasting for all those years. So what Vin snacked on during games.
Interesting. Okay.
What, Mace, what do you think it was? Take a guess.
I will say he snacked on carrots.
Very good. I guess. Lindsay, you want to guess?
I'm going to guess bananas.
Bananas, those are both excellent guesses. Funch already knows the answer because he put the sound in for me, and here is the answer.
Vin Scully taught me a great lesson, and it really works. Gummy bears throughout the course of the broadcast. Pop a couple of gummy bears in. Not the ones from Colorado, but the regular gummy bears. And, you know, it kind of gives you, you know, a good voice, and you don't get the dry throat or anything. So that's a good lesson. So and then try to snack a little bit.
You're telling me that the secret, the one secret to Vin Scully's success, outside of everything that got him to that level, is just eating gummy bears?
Yep, I think so. I mean, listen to his voice. Like, everybody wants to speak like that. So, hey, if it's good enough for Vin Scully, I'm going to do the gummy bear.
All right, so there it is. Now, Mace, I'm not a big sugar guy. I try and limit my sugar. But now I'm seriously reconsidering, should I try gummy bears next season?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why not. Here's the other thing. You know what Morales says, because his dad is a radio legend.
Mucho Morales, yes, very famous.
He says his dad always sucked on cough drops. That's another probably very good for your voice.
You could, like, clink it around hitting your teeth and stuff.
Yeah, but you can just, during breaks, and then you can just set it down. You know how you set down a cough drop and then you put it back in? To me, that's a good idea. I did that for a while when I was having voice problems, and it definitely helped. No, gummy bears is worth trying. What do you snack on?
I pump green tea with honey during games. Pump it. I normally drink two or three of them. I got that from Mike Breen from ABC and who does the Knicks games. Breen told me that he drinks two glasses of green tea either before or during every game, and it keeps him from getting sick. He says he hasn't been sick and hasn't missed a game in 10 years. So I stole that from him, and I continue to. I like pomegranate green tea, and I put honey in it and roll with that. But
Whenever I think about this, I'm amazed. I am always amazed that you are able to do a 3.5-hour radio show and then do a 3-hour-plus NBA game in a single day. I can tell you definitively there is no way I could do that. I think the other guy that does it, does Michael Kay do that sometimes?
Yeah, he'll do his afternoon show and then roll right into the Yankee game.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea how you can possibly do that. That is like superhuman to me.
Yeah, there's only, I think Michael and I are the only two guys doing it now. Eric Hasseltine in Memphis used to do it too. He used to do an afternoon talk show and then do the game.
Does David Locke do that?
No, not anymore. David did it for years. But now I think Michael and I are the only two left that do Grant Napier in Sacramento does it too. He does an afternoon talk show and then rolls into the Kings games. But if there's anybody else out there doing it, I don't know about him. It was, to your point, it was easier to do when we were doing middays. Because I would do middays, and then I'd have a little break, and then I'd do the games. Now, where we just roll in, but now, you know, now that we're not doing games, I would beg for even the chance to do it.
So, yeah, right, right.
My fingers are crossed. Funch?
Fast Track.
Your fingers are crossed about
us getting
doing games
to do,
or doing middays?
Getting to do the show with you and then do the game. I would take it in any way, shape, or form.
All right, John, today is National Superhero Day. And what I did when I found this out was I went out to my garage. I recently helped me clean out the garage, and I found all my collectible stuff, including all my comic books. And the most comics that I had were for the Silver Surfer, who was clearly, as a kid and still is, my all-time favorite superhero. You know what the second most number of comics I had for was Black Panther. I had a ton of Silver Surfer
really?
And Black Panther comic books. John, if you had to choose, and I know this isn't your necessarily general area of things, but if you had to choose a superhero to be your favorite, who would it be?
Well, first of all, let's establish some clear ground rules. Batman, not a superhero.
Batman is a superhero.
He has no superpowers whatsoever.
Super technology. Yeah.
He has a belt. So, I mean, he's out. All right. Batman is out.
It's a ridiculous assertion.
Okay. Superman would be fantastic because you could fly. But I have to say, there are a couple of, like, I think Aquaman would be incredibly cool to have superhuman strength and be able to stay underwater indefinitely. Major kudos to Aquaman. And also, I think it'd be really fun to be the Flash. To just
Flash
be able to
cool.
run that fast. So,
Flash
but
is
I'd pick,
cool.
I'd pick Superman, but shout outs to both the Aquaman and the Flash.
What about you, Lindsay?
I would probably, my favorite superhero growing up was Captain Planet. You know,
the hell is Captain Planet?
I don't even know who that is.
Teaching
Me
people
either.
To recycle and teaching them about
a
greenhouse
fake superhero.
Effects. No, it's not. But I would like to be Spider-Man.
Politically correct superhero.
I'm just saying, that was my favorite growing up. It was a great show. It was on TV a lot when I was.
And
you know,
really,
that age.
His superpower was teaching people to recycle.
Well, he saved the planet all the time. Like, his thing was that, like, there was all these bad guys that, like, came in and polluted the planet. And sometimes they were, like, chopping down the rainforest, or they were testing on animals, or not recycling. And he would come in and, like, destroy them. And, you know, he would fight them with his superpowers. And then there was always a lesson at the end about, like, why said thing is so bad for the environment, and then, you know, you'd learn about why you shouldn't do it. And
oh, wow. So he was a superhero ahead of his time.
I don't know if he was ahead of his time. I mean, that was like when recycling and stuff kind of became a thing, right?
Yeah,
in, like,
right.
The 90s.
Right. Funch, what about you?
I'm sorry, but Batman's a superhero, and I want Batman.
Yeah, Batman is a superhero.
Hey, what is his superpower?
He's smart, he's good-looking, he's rich, and he always gets a girl. That's his superpower.
You just described Derek Jeter.
By the way, and he's got
and
the
he's
greatest,
a superhero too.
He's a scientist. He comes up with these unbelievable things. What's the difference between Tony Stark and Bruce Wayne?
Nothing. But Iron Man's not a superhero either.
So you don't think Iron Man is a superhero?
No, he's just got a fancy suit.
You're living in a bizarre world. Iron Man is not a superhero in your world.
What's his superpower?
I think that there's a difference here between your guys's what you guys classify as a superhero. John seems to think that, like, they have to have a superpower and that it cannot be assisted or man-made.
Cannot be human.
But why can't being scientific be a superpower?
Because
he's so smart,
anybody,
he invented all this stuff.
Yeah, but then, well, I mean, you're describing Elon Musk. These are people that walk around us.
If Elon Musk was using a flying machine, a backpack
yes.
and was flying around, I would say, yeah, superhero. By the way, I put that out in a poll.
Elon Musk is sending people to space.
Is Batman a superhero? I will keep you up to date on the way that poll goes down. I think it's definitely going to go on the superhero way.
Nah, you got to have a superpower.
Funch?
Fast track.
Do we do one more? Do we?
Yeah, I'll do it. No, I'll do one.
Okay.
And then we'll break. I teased this earlier. This Friday, Texas will become the latest state to allow movie theaters to open, though the major chains are not expected to restart business until at least July. Georgia allowed its theaters to reopen on Monday, though it appears that few, if any, have chosen to do so. The governor of Texas, who is Greg Abbott, said that many companies will choose to remain closed. He says this is a permission to open, not a requirement. Abbott added that theaters and other establishments would only be allowed to operate at 25% capacity, which might make it uneconomical for many businesses to operate. The major theater chains are unlikely to reopen without the support of major studio releases, which in turn are unlikely to be distributed until theaters across the country are able to screen them. So you, Mace, owned movie theaters for years. What needs to happen for this to work? If you can only sell 25% of the seats and the studios won't give you new releases, is it even worth opening?
So it's a kind of catch-22. So the studio, you can only sell 25% capacity. The studios have big movies, but they only want to release them when they can make the most money at it. Until the studios start releasing their big movies, and everything has been pushed, there are no big movies scheduled through the end of summer. There are no big movies really scheduled until Thanksgiving. There's really no point in movies opening. Like, I was thinking about it today. If I was to open a movie theater, if I had a theater still, and if I was to reopen it today, I would have no movies to put into it. It would be pointless to reopen. So I don't think movie theaters reopen until they can operate at higher capacity and studios start releasing movies. At this point, the movie theater business is null and moot because there are no movies to play.
So this news today is really not news. Just giving them permission to open, they're not going to do it unless they get cooperation from the studios.
Yeah, I'm looking at the release schedule. There just are no movies. It's pointless to operate if you're a movie theater. All right, more Fast Track coming up next. Lindsay's got a question. Funch has got a question. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, here we go. Rolling on with Fast Track. And Lindsay, it's to you.
Fast Track.
Oh, I got to find my little paper here. Sorry, I got a bunch of tabs open. Okay, so I don't know if you guys heard that ESPN is transforming the Uno to the Ocho. For the first time in the fictitious network's history, ESPN 8, the Ocho, is going to take over ESPN for 11 hours this Saturday, airing everyone's favorite seldom-seen sports. The schedule kicks off at noon Eastern, live. Yes, we're going to have a live sporting event from Iceland, where former World's Strongest Man champion Thor Bjornsson will
attempt... That guy was in Game of Thrones, I think.
Yes,
yeah, he was.
He was. He's going to be attempting to break the world record by deadlifting 1,104 pounds. Other featured events during the Ocho takeover is going to include professional arm wrestling, cheese rolling, frog jumping, putt-putt championships, lawnmower racing, annual stone skipping competition, sign spinning, and cherry pit spinning. Wanted to ask you guys if you could compete in any of these three Ocho events. Which three would you want to do, or would you think you'd be best at?
For me, give me putt-putt all day long. You cannot take me on a miniature golf course. I don't
really
care if you're up and down drawbridges
really
going up or if I've got to hit it in the clown's mouth. But I'll,
right
a, anytime,
mouth
anytime anywhere, I'll take
there.
You on.
I will
I'll take
you
on
any right
20
now,
grand mythical
head,
money bet.
Toe-to-toe, 20
let's go.
Grand mythical money
showdown.
I think we need to mark that in the calendar somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty much like the putt-putt champ of where I'm from.
Oh, wow, look at you.
I once broke up with a girl because she sucked at putt-putt. Couldn't
Oh, that's
it.
The worst. That's the worst. I play with my nephew, and he always does the thing where he, like, drags the club. See, my grandparents taught me how to putt-putt, and they were both, like, avid golfers. So they were very strict in, like, enforcing all the rules. So I'm very...
I should also say it was a combination of her being terrible at... She was cute, but it was a combination of her being terrible at putt-putt, and then we went bowling, and she bowled a 43.
Oh, that's too much.
That's really bad.
Over.
That combination of two things I can't live with.
What are my
You're
other
out.
Options? Putt-putt? What else?
We've got professional arm wrestling. Who would win in a professionally arm wrestling competition between you two?
I'll tell you what. I have been working arms. I think I
there
might
is,
beat you right now.
There is no competition that Mason's ever defeated me in.
I think I could beat you arm wrestling.
Unless Sliwa cheats.
I've got guns right now. I've got guns. I've decided I'm going to have guns when I come back to work.
Although, wait a minute, Mace, serious question, okay?
Yeah.
I guess you can wear gloves, but just as we know it, is arm wrestling done because of COVID?
No,
like you couldn't do it.
Things aren't done. Things are going to come back.
Handshakes back. Well, high five is back.
I'm not going to shake hands anymore. I'm just
Wait. You're not going to shake hands, but you'll arm wrestle?
Yeah, but that's just a choice. Arm wrestling is a sport.
Well, why aren't you shaking hands?
Arm wrestling is easy. You arm wrestle.
It's the same concept. We're grasping hands. You sound like an idiot.
Then you use hand sanitizer after a match. If I go to a Lakers game, I'm not going to shake everybody's hand. Those days are over. I can't shake AJ Pinciglieri's hand and then use hand sanitizer and then shake somebody Bill Orem's hand and then use hand sanitizer again.
Why not? Michael Thompson does it.
Steve Futterman's hand and then. But Michael's not a big handshake guy, is he?
Oh, yeah, but he does Purell after every handshake.
It's easy for me to arm wrestle and then use Purell.
No, if you're against Lindsey, straighten him out here. If he's against shaking hands on the principle that he could get sick, he can't be for arm wrestling. It's the same act.
I disagree.
Yeah.
It's a competition. It's two totally different things. Shaking someone's hand is like a greeting, but like saying, hey, I'm going to arm wrestle you. Let's go. Like one-on-one. Come on. I'll take you down. That's totally different. That's a competition.
Well, the only reason I may agree with you, Mace, is I really, really want the bow to come back. The Larry David bow.
Well, you're talking about the half prayer bow.
The good bow versus the blank bow.
I like the showbiz half prayer bow. By the way, this has just come across. The OC Board of Supervisors has unanimously voted 5-0 to reopen businesses with safety guidelines in Orange County.
Oh, good.
So that's a significant story. OC Board of Supervisors both vote 5-0 to reopen businesses with safety guidelines. So, yeah, there's your beginning. There's your beginning. All right, Funch.
Fast track.
All right, I got a little trivia question. Since we saw the Dennis Rodman-centric Last Dance episode on Sunday, only four guys have led the league in rebounding in the 90s. Can you guys name them? And I'm talking about rebounds per game over a course of a year. You guys can work as a team, and we'll have three strikes.
Okay, and it's rebounds total?
Total reboundings per game over a course of a season. Only four guys in the 90s have led the league in rebounding.
Now, wait a minute. First of all, point of clarification. Rodman led everybody in rebounding for 7 years in a row. Is he one of the four?
There's one.
Okay.
There's other people.
Yeah, but okay. I think...
In the 90s.
Okay, so you're gonna think, because he wasn't very tall... But I'm pretty sure. Oh man, I'm trying to think. In the 90s, I was going to say Charles Barkley, but I don't think he's on.
What about Karl Malone?
He wouldn't. He wouldn't have led. Rodman led for like most of the 90s.
So there's only three times in the 90s that. Rodman.
So we're looking for, Rodman led from like, I had this as part of a question yesterday. Rodman led like 91 to 98, somewhere around that.
Yeah, you're right, John. You're right about that.
So Funch, we're only looking for three other guys, mm-hmm. right? Okay. Wow. Mace, I think one of them might have been Olajuwon. All right, Funch, we'll guess Olajuwon.
What about David Robinson? Or did we miss?
I like
David
that.
Robinson?
Yeah, yeah. No, let's try that. Now, Admiral David Robinson.
There you go.
Oh,
down
good
to two.
Mace. Good okay. Mace. Okay. How? Now, you know who started like winning rebounding titles? Well, except I think it's too early. I know Garnett won a bunch and Dwight Howard won a bunch, but I don't think it was in the 90s. Okay.
Barkley would have been too early, but well, no, maybe Barkley.
I know Barkley was a tremendous.
Would he have done it in the?
And Moses Malone would have been long gone by then, right? Have we got one strike?
Yeah, one strike.
Let's try Barkley. Okay. How about I know Mace? Okay, so the Lakers played. When the Lakers played in the NBA Finals,
right,
in the first year, in 2000, Dikembe Mutombo, because he played in those finals, led the league in rebounding. Okay. But would that be in 2000? He could have done it earlier. You want to try that?
Yeah, try that.
All right, Mutombo.
Ooh. Technically, because he was in 99 to 2000. So
okay, yeah. Right. Got it.
So there's only one left.
One more guy. One more guy. You guys want a clue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Lakers had some playoff wars against him.
Oh, that immediately makes me think of Sacramento.
Could Weber have done it? It's not Vlade. Could Weber have led the NBA in rebounding?
It can't be.
He was a good rebounder.
Did they have wars with anybody else? Because I immediately thought Sacramento.
Yeah, I did too. But there's no one else on that team. It I know it was not Vlade. Vlade would never led the league in rebounding. Okay. No. Unless it's San Antonio, unless it was Duncan. But Duncan didn't get drafted until like 99. I think
was the year Mutombo won.
Yeah, I think we got it. I don't think it's right, but I think we got to try Weber.
You guys are right.
Whoa! I never would have guessed Weber.
That was a long shot. Well, the hint helped.
Without the hint, I never would have thought Weber at all. But once you gave the hint, playoff battles, I immediately thought, in that era, I thought Sacramento.
Yeah, so when David Robinson for 1 year, then Dennis Rodman for seven straight years, then Chris Weber, and then Dikembe Mutombo.
There you go.
Wow, that's a good question.
Good question. All right, coming up next, more Fast Track, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track, and it's to me.
Fast Track.
A Michigan senator has apologized for wearing a face mask that depicted the Confederate flag during a Senate vote at the state capitol on Friday. Senator Dale Zorn, in a statement released Saturday, said he's sorry for the choice of pattern on the face mask. He says, quote, "I did not intend to offend anyone. However, I realized that I did, and for that I am sorry. My actions were an error in judgment for which there are no excuses, and I will learn from this episode. I did not intend to offend anyone." John, how the hell did this guy not know that the Confederate flag would be offensive? And is this the end of the line for this particular state senator?
All right, so the biggest surprise is he wore a Confederate flag in Michigan?
On his mask.
Like, if you would say to me that he did it in the South, I would say that he would have a chance to survive it. But it doesn't.
In Michigan?
In Michigan, it doesn't even make sense. It'd be like somebody wearing one in California. What's your. This is what we talked about briefly yesterday when I asked the question. Is it okay to wear a theme mask? Like, right. in this time where we are trying to get through COVID and everybody's trying to be safe, can I have, like, a mask that has Game of Thrones on it? Or a mask that has, you know, The Simpsons on it? Or is
I wore my Dodgers mask. I have a Dodgers mask that I ordered in half.
Right. Now, I can't imagine anyone getting offended by a Dodgers mask, but I don't know. And I certainly wouldn't.
Fan.
Yeah, maybe. I certainly wouldn't wear a Confederate flag mask. I just think that's I mean, state senators are elected, right?
Yes, elected.
Yeah, I think this guy runs for re-election and he probably loses, don't you?
What the hell could you possibly be thinking, especially in Michigan? Is there something I'm missing? Is that like some political statement? Is that like an open
arms Michigan
open
has never
state
been
now kind of
Michigan,
thing?
Michigan, yeah, Michigan was not in the Civil War. What are we just? I mean,
it's just nonsense.
It's just it doesn't add up. Or maybe. Well, I know that you know Michigan is what is kind of a hotbed is Gretchen Whitmer, the governor there, is a Democrat who President Trump calls out a lot.
Yeah,
and he says stuff like you know open Michigan and reopen Michigan. But was this guy trying to? Was he trying to join that debate? I don't know.
Sounds like that might have been it, but I mean, wearing a Confederate flag, I don't. I mean, how do you not get the memo on that? I think the guy.
It just seems like, what are you thinking?
That could definitely be it for him. Funch.
Fast Track.
Okay, Mace. Will Reeve, who is a network reporter for ABC News and the son of the late Christopher Reeve, is catching some flack for doing a live report from his home on Tuesday without wearing pants.
Without wearing pants?
Reeve had on a sport coat, a dress shirt, and what appeared to be a pair of workout shorts on. He framed his own camera shot too wide, and it revealed he didn't put any pants on. His story was a serious one. He was talking about how pharmacies are considering delivering future prescriptions with drones so sick people don't have to go to the pharmacy. Now, full disclosure here. When I did weekend sports for KCBS KCAL in the 90s, I did this every week during the summer. In July and August, it was 100 degrees in Hollywood, and we were on the old Paramount movie lot.
Yeah, right.
And I had shorts and flip-flops on every week. If they were going to take a wide shot, the director, shout out to Chris Stegner, would tell me, and I would make sure to tuck my legs under the desk. So, is this story something or nothing? Is it unprofessional to wear shorts with a suit, even if you get caught, or is this totally acceptable?
I think most people understand by now that what you see above the desk isn't what is happening below the desk. Right. We've talked enough about this. Are you wearing pants? Every local news anchor has said to another local news anchor during Happy Talk, are you wearing pants? Yes, but are you wearing pants? You know, when I never got to do that because I always did stand-up sports.
Right.
Where you stand up in front of a gigantic board and they play the highlights behind you. So I never had the option. But I can tell you, Phil Schumann wasn't wearing pants.
Let me tell you,
the news.
I've done news with every serious news anchor that came through CBS and KCAL. And at one time or another, no pants.
Yep.
It just depends on if they're going for a wide shot. If they're going for a wide shot, then you have to put a suit on. If not, you go for comfort. Like all the women I worked with, you know, beautiful women would wear like these expensive dresses and tops, and underneath it they were wearing UGG boots or flip-flops.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, they were wearing something that was comfortable. So
the answer to the question, is this something or nothing?
I think it's
in my
nothing.
My mind is, it's nothing.
Yeah, and if you Google it, he's like, it's this big debate now that, you can't do that, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? You know, you got caught not wearing pants. No, none of your favorite. Jerry Dunphy had days where he didn't wear pants. Deal with it.
Funch.
Fast Track.
All right, let's play a game. This is the all-over-the-place game, which means that everybody can play 10 questions. These are about anything. Life is all over the place right now, so this is all over the place trivia.
Okay.
So that means that Ireland, you can play. Lindsay, you can play. And Funch, you can play. We always want to make sure people know who can actually play the games.
Thank you.
Are you guys ready? Your name is your buzzer.
Excellent.
And I'm the ultimate judge on what name I hear first, okay? Number one, which movie franchise includes a character named Frodo?
Funch.
John.
Lindsay.
Funch.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings is correct. Funch is on the board. Number two, what is the primary language in Brazil?
John. Portuguese.
Correct. Portuguese. Excellent. John is on the board. Number three, what recording artist is known for the song Rockin' in the Free World?
Lindsay. Neil Young.
Neil Young is correct. Yes,
1-1-1.
All right. In the Star Wars universe, what type of creature is Chewbacca?
Lindsay. A Wookiee.
A Wookiee is correct. Lindsay has taken a lead. 2-1-1. Number five. If your head is in a toilet when it gets flushed,
Lindsay.
You're getting Lindsay.
A swirly.
A swirly is correct, Lindsay.
How do you know that? I don't want to know how you know that.
Toilet, your head
how
in
you
a toilet
know
getting
that?
Flushed.
I don't. That must be an Ohio thing.
I don't know it firsthand. You, John, you've never heard of a swirly?
I have not.
Now, that
I'd like to see
Ohio
one,
thing.
Though.
Yeah. All right, number six. Lindsay's got a 3-1-1 lead. This candy currently has the slogan, not sorry.
John? Reese's.
Reese's is correct. Yes, Reese's.
I don't get it.
Buttercups. I don't get it either, but it is the slogan. They keep saying, Reese's, not sorry.
I think they, you remember they had that old bit where the guy with the chocolate runs into the guy with the peanut butter? And then, so if you run into them, you say, not sorry, because it's
see,
a good result.
See, I thought it was like that song, Sorry, Not Sorry.
You could be. I could be completely wrong.
All right. It is Lindsay 3, Ireland 2, Funch 1, number 7. If you go camping, but all the equipment you use is fancy.
John.
Lindsay.
John.
Glamping.
Glamping is the correct answer, yes. Ireland and Lindsay tied at 3, Funch with just 1.
It's the only type of camping I'll allow.
Number 8. The painting American Gothic by Grant Wood features an old man and an old woman. Lindsay?
They're on a farm and they have a pitchfork.
Pitchfork is what I was looking for, yes. Old man, old woman standing in front of a farmhouse. Man is holding what? A pitchfork. Lindsay has taken a 4-3 lead over Ireland. Wow, this is a horse race. Number 9. How many Kanye West singles have gone to number 1 on the U.S. Billboard chart?
John.
John.
14.
No.
Lindsay.
Lindsay.
I'll guess 8.
No.
Funch.
Funch?
10.
No. Correct answer, 2.
Wow.
Golden makes more sense.
And Stronger both went to number 1 on the U.S. Billboard chart, but that's it. Had a lot of other songs that charted, but those are the two that hit number 1. All right, so it's Ireland 3, Lindsay 4, Funch 1. This one is worth 4.5.
Okay.
Here we go. What year did Nike release the first
Funch.
Pair? Funch?
1986.
No.
John.
John.
It was Steve Prefontaine. 1970.
No, nobody's listened to the full
question. I was going to say, what's the full question?
Full question. What year did Nike release the first pair of Jordans?
Oh, 1984.
1984, Lindsay, for the win!
You guys both already guessed, so I had the in.
Yeah, you guys jumped in and didn't listen to the, ask for the entire question.
I knew you were going to ask. I knew you were going to ask.
Well, then why did you say 86?
Because I thought it was 86.
Yep, it was 84. It was 84. All right, we were roll on with Fast Track next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hi, rolling on with Fast Track in Ireland. It's to you.
Fast Track.
Okay, we've been talking a lot about the KBO, the Korean Baseball Organization. We had Dan Straley on earlier this month. Straley is a pitcher who plays in the KBO. It is the most popular sports league in South Korea. The world of sports is closely watching this league, which is scheduled to resume next week in stadiums without fans. Since we're all rooting for this to go well, I have a quiz about the KBO.
Okay.
These are all true or false questions. Lindsay, you can play. Funch, you can play. And Mason can play. All right, here we go. Number one, all of the stadiums in the KBO are big compared to baseball stadiums here. The smallest stadium in MLB is Tropicana Field in Tampa, which seats 31,000 fans. The smallest stadium in the KBO, which has 10 teams, is in Seoul. And seats 42,000. Lindsay, true or false?
I think that's true.
Funch.
False.
Mace, break the tie.
False.
False is the correct answer. No stadium in the KBO has more than 26,000. So every stadium there in all 10 parks is smaller than the smallest stadium here. So Funch and Mace each get a point. All right. 9 of the 10 franchises are named after companies which own them. These teams include the Kia Lions, the Samsung Tigers, and the LG Twins. The Hyundai Unicorns used to be in the league, but they no longer exist. Funch, true or false?
False.
False, Mace?
False.
Lindsay?
That's definitely false.
100% true.
You're kidding me.
No, 9 of the 10 franchises are named after companies. The Kia Lions, the Samsung Tigers, and the LG Twins are all in the league now. The Hyundai Unicorns were kicked out, I think, 6 years ago. All right,
so that would mean that the Lotte Giants are the one exception,
no, Lotte,
right?
Lotte's
oh,
a company,
it's a company?
I think.
Okay.
Yeah. And by the way, this next question is about the Lotte Giants. The team Straley is playing for the Lotte Giants are historically the best team in the KBO. The Giants have won 11 titles since 1983, the most of any team in the league. Mace, true or false?
I'll say true.
Lindsay?
True.
Funch?
True.
All three of you wrong again. The Kia Tigers are the team with that record. Straley's team has only won two titles during that span. Okay, two more. And so far, Mason won, Funch just won, Lindsay zero. Three more. Here we go. The KBO has no designated hitter. In fact, some of the pitchers in the league are recognized as excellent hitters, and several hit high up in the lineup. Lindsay, true or false?
I'm going to say that is true.
Okay, Funch.
True.
Mace. I'll say that's true.
Again, three in a row, all three of you wrong. There is a universal DH in the KBO. So you guys 0 for the last three collectively. Two more. Former Dodger pitcher Chan Ho Park was the first ever South Korean-born player in Major League Baseball. Park played for the Hanwha Eagles of the KBO before coming to the Dodgers when he was 20. Funch, true or false?
True.
Mace, true or false?
True.
Lindsay?
I'm going to shake things up a little bit and say false.
Lindsay, you should have stayed with the group. It is 100% true, which means the last one is here. Lindsay is going for the Curtis. She has zero. Funch two,
wow.
Mason two. Here
this
we go.
This hardly ever happens, Lindsay. Good luck.
The current champion, the reigning champion in the KBO, are the Pasco Salamanders, who defeated the Kiwoom Heroes in last year's championship series. Park Na-Ray was named the most outstanding player after hitting .341 with three home runs in the championship series. Mace, true or false?
Awful lot of detail. I'm going to say false.
Okay. Funch, true or false?
True.
Lindsay, this is the important one. If you get it right, you get off the schneid. If you get it wrong, you pull the rare Curtis. No correct answers whatsoever. True or false?
I'm fairly certain it's false.
Lindsay's off the schneid. It is false. Mason's the winner. Mason, it's so funny. You and I were both rooting for her to miss more than you were for yourself to win.
Who could care about me? By the way, Lindsay, that is so rare that somebody can go 0-for in a game.
No, it is. It's just we don't see it. It's like an eclipse.
It's just as tough as winning.
Yeah,
it's
like
just
in
as
Keno
tough to
Vegas.
Go 6-for-6.
I completely made up the Pasco Salamanders, and Park Na-Ray is a female comedian in South Korea.
Yeah, I thought that was too much detail. So, Lindsay, you were good to sniff it out. Too much detail.
And, Mason is the victor.
All right. One last one. Funch.
Fast track.
I got this email today from a guy named Chris. He's an avid listener.
Hi, Chris.
He says, quick questions. What are some effective ways I can reduce anxiety and depression while quarantined from home? I do not consider myself someone who is battling mental illness, but rather going through a peculiar situation, which is being stuck at home, much like every American right now. What should give us some tactics for Chris to deal with this? By the way, this is everybody dealing with this.
Yeah, correct. Can we assume by the nature of the question, Mace, that Chris is quarantined alone?
We cannot assume that, but let's go ahead and assume that.
Okay, if that is the case, Chris, one word for you. Pornhub.
Oh, geez.
No.
What are you talking about?
No.
Mace, you listed it as one of your three favorite apps. Does it not help with depression?
Let's help the guy out in
a
meaningful way.
Okay, what's your idea?
Download the app called Headspace and try that, because it's a guided meditation app that starts you off as low as, like, you know, 1 to 2 minute sessions, and you can work your way up to longer. So if you've never meditated before in your life and you think it's really weird, that's like how I got started meditating. And now, like, if I go a couple days without meditating, I am a wreck, and it's saved it. It completely like changed my personality and outlook on life. So it's very useful. That's my tip.
Again, I will counter with Pornhub. Mace, okay. You're the only one who's actually suffered from these actual conditions. What would you recommend?
Well, there's a difference, though. He's just to be clear, he doesn't think he's battling mental illness. He just thinks he's dealing with, you know, a really tough time, a tough, weird time. I would say this. Deepak Chopra, we just had Gotham on earlier or last week, earlier this week. I don't know. They all blend together. I guess it was last week. Has got a new podcast called Now for Tomorrow, and a documentary called The Mindfulness Movie. I've been listening, The Mindfulness Movement. I've been listening to the podcast. It's really good. It's nice 7-minute little podcast that, that gives you a little exercise to think about. I think it's really, really good. And The Mindfulness Movement documentary is excellent. So I would recommend those two things. And okay. John, you again will counter with.
Porn, but the what's interesting here is Funch can be an independent arbitrator. So Funch, this guy called with a legitimate or sent an email to Mason with a legitimate concern. He is battling depression. He's feeling sad. Each one of us has proposed a solution. Lindsay says you should download the Headspace app. And go into Headspace, and that will help you feel better. Mason says, listen to a Deepak Chopra podcast, and my suggestion is porn. Which one of us came up with the best suggestion, Funch?
Don't judge me, but John Ireland has the right one.
Ah.
Some people aren't into that, though, you know? Like, I'm sure he's tried that. If he, don't you think he's...
By the way, that's what I'm thinking, too. I think he's already tried it.
Yeah,
how do you know?
I mean, if it's kind of an obvious one where it seems like if that's something that made you happy, you would do it, right?
Well,
where
no, but the issue is if he's, now, in all seriousness, if he is at home with others, that's probably not going to work. So you would have to go to one of either Mason or Lindsay's solutions. Or another a thing I would suggest is Irish whiskey. I prefer Bushmills, but Jameson's also works.
All right, there you have. There's Ireland's, and I could have just said weed, but
I was just gonna say weed, like Wii. If you got a Nintendo Wii, you know.
Oh, Wii is good too. Yeah, that's very good.
I've been playing. Me and my friends have been playing a lot of online poker. That's been fun. You try.
And
that.
By the way, it's what's important to say is is it Chris?
Chris,
is that who
yeah.
I talked to? Is that you're definitely not alone. Everybody is feeling that way right now, and everybody's finding a way to deal with it. There are multiple ways that were suggested there, and any of them, including Ireland's, could be helpful. Could be helpful.
Talking about Funch just declared me the winner.
Yes,
feel good about my suggestion.
By the way, I want to Joseph Suiza. DM'd me and said that his girlfriend has started listening to the show for the very first time, and she would be thrilled with a birthday shout out. So happy birthday to Luli Murillo.
Her name Luli is Luli
Murillo, Lully.
Lully. Luli, that's a pretty name.
Luli Murillo.
I've never heard that name before.
Yeah. So happy birthday to Luli. Thank you for tuning in for the very first time, and we appreciate you. All right. Coming up next, it's time, people. It's time.
Sleazewa the cheater?
It's Sleazewa at sunset. Mason and Ireland Crosstalk. Coming up next, 710 ESPN. Woot, woot. Yeah. It is time, people. It is the time that Los Angeles waits for as the sun begins to set. It's Sleewa at sunset. Well, that was a really interesting spin on the whole thing.
Bring the family in, everybody.
Bring the gather the family around the radio. Around the, it's not a big radio, a big brown sort of round radio thing mm-hmm. like they had in the olden times. It's now you gather around the Alexa. They gather around the Alexa, and they say, play Sleewa at Sunset, and up pops this magnificent show that entertains Los Angeles a little bit on some nights.
Grab your lady, fellas.
Grab your lady. That's the new slogan, grab your lady.
Turn the fireplace on.
Not like that.
Like a nice intimate, you know, we want to, that's kind of what the Sleewa, that's what we're known for, the show is known for now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Ireland is all pissed off at you. Go ahead, John.
What happened?
Oh, no, Alan, you know what happened in the 72 Olympics? Because Morales says that apparently no one remembers it because he's unpatriotic. Mm-hmm. Do you know what happened to the United States basketball team in the 72 Olympics?
They got screwed. They got screwed.
How did they get screwed?
So this is the, if I'm correct, they replayed it two different times. Or they played
on the third time, the Russians won it after they had lost the first two times. So that's the equivalent of what you did yesterday in trivia. You basically, well, Mason was the Russians. I'm the United States. You just kept replaying the game until Mason won. And I have assumed the position of Doug Collins and the other Americans who have refused to pick up their silver medals for any reason.
So
never
I would
will
argue
accept
that
them.
I am the Chicago Bulls. John is Isaiah Thomas. And he stormed off like a little bitch.
Sleewood, did I win the game outright until you changed the rules and replayed it?
I want to actually go back. I think there's a sporting event that's a perfect comp to this.
Okay.
Do you have
a third sporting event?
So I have one, Mason has one, and now Alan has a third one.
So 2016, the Cavs were down 3-1 to the Warriors, if you guys remember this, right?
Yeah.
And then that kind of momentum started shifting. They win game five. It's now 3-2. They grab game six. It's 3-3. And then miraculously out of nowhere, Mason comes, grabs game seven. He wins 4-3. Probably one of the best comebacks I think we've ever seen in sports. I mean, that's kind of the way I saw yesterday play out. Mace, would you agree?
I agree with that entirely. I thought that I had the big Mo in this matchup. And, I'm curious.
I would actually agree with that assessment. I was the 73-win Warriors. I won three titles in 5 years, and Mason basically rode LeBron to one title. I'll accept your.
And I'm LeBron.
And Fudge,
did you go back and get the actual?
I think you're more like J.R. Smith. You forgot the score.
Did you, Fudge? Did you actually go back and get the sound of the one question that's in?
I do. I have 17 seconds of it.
Okay, so this is the one that is in dispute. The one that Ireland claims he got, and I claim I got. We both had the right answer. So this, I'm assuming, it includes the question, and then us buzzing in. Funch, go ahead and hit it.
Find one here. Where did Andrew Luck play college football?
John.
Steve.
Steve was in the middle of saying Steve. John?
Ah, Stanford.
I did not hear this.
I didn't hear this.
That is indisputable. I don't. Okay, go ahead. Hey, Slee's with a cheater. Go ahead and spin that one.
It's clear. I mean, I don't know how many times we have to replay it. Mace, it's an unbelievable comeback.
I mean, that's what got it. See, that's my new strategy, because you start with ja, and I start with s, and the s sneaks in there.
And you may have started right at the same time I started my question.
I was as you finished your question.
It's just kind of very quietly under the radar. It was there so that if you
so
the
quiet
answer,
that you can't hear it.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways, that's the way that went down. And I'm incredibly proud of that performance. And I did come storming back like LeBron, down 3-1, and took that championship. And by the way, you have won all the other games. You have been the Warriors.
Yes.
So I am.
I'll be
Cavaliers.
The Warriors. You be the Cavs, and we move on.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Well, I have won if we want it at all during crosstalk. So just.
I think you should play Mason against Lindsey.
Oh, Mason against Lindsey.
Lindsey had a good day. She won earlier. And then I can, as the Warriors, I can do what they did this year and just take the year off.
How about Kerr? Did you guys see Kerr's comments?
Yeah, he's already done. He doesn't want to come to work. Come on.
I, first of all, I never even kind of thought of the teams that are, you know, mathematically eliminated or, you know, they have no shot. What are they doing in this whole thing? Like, think of all the up.
They're dead last. They have the worst record in the NBA.
Exactly. I mean, John, do you think they would do anything where those teams that literally have no opportunity to make the playoffs, Would they do anything that includes them? You think they would have to?
I don't. Well, what do you? What's your description of having no chance to make the playoffs? Mathematically eliminated?
Mathematically eliminated.
Because I don't think very many teams were. There were still, what, 15 to between 15 and 20 games to play?
But what it comes down to is,
you're not going to get.
Are you just going to say these are the 16?
No. Well, here's why I don't think they'll do that. Zion is three games out. Damian Lillard is three games out. They want to play more games, not less games. And so the more cities you can give TV games to, they can honor their TV contracts. You know what I mean? So, in other words, like, if most teams, I just pulled up the standings. If, let's say, the Bucks were 53-12, so that means they had 65 games played. They had 17 left. So the Nets and Magic,
they're 7th and 8th.
23. There are no teams in the East mathematically eliminated. Even the Cavs are within 14 games of a playoff spot. So you wouldn't eliminate any teams in the East. In the West, the Warriors, okay, so the team with the 8th best record is basically 500, the Grizzlies, 32-33. And again, they're only 14, the Warriors are only 14 games out. So, Alan, using your method, every team is still alive. So I think you have to draw a line. I think you want to say any team within 5 games of a playoff spot keeps playing? Or you just take the top 16?
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you take the top 16...
you just knocked out Zion and Damian Lillard.
But let's look at this. Portland... I don't know.
And Mason, Sacramento Kings.
Yes, my Kings are right there.
You killed Luke Walton.
Right there in it.
The Kings are 3.5 out. You would be killing them.
John, what would happen to teams, Nurkic and Zach Collins? Remember how they were injured,
yeah, they'd
right?
be back.
They were eventually going to come back. Like, is that a...
Alan, I'll give you two even more extreme examples.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what happens if this doesn't start until July 1? And the Warriors come back with Steph and Klay. And the Nets come back with Durant and Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
Do you keep those teams out, or do you let them go? The Nets are in now. Can you imagine the Nets with KD and Kyrie? They'd be like a 7 seed, but everybody'd be scared of them.
So they'd have Raptors. By the way, they'd have Raptors in the first round if you just went, you know, the 1-8. But I think, John, I think you're when you explain it that way, I feel like. Those are, it's not the right way to say it, unfair advantages, but I almost feel like, okay, well, they benefited off, obviously, all this loss, while other teams, they're not going to benefit.
All right, so here's what you could do. You could lock in the first 6 seeds in each conference. So in the West, it would be Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, Jazz, Thunder, Rockets. All right? Then you do a play-in tournament for the last 2 seeds. Mavs, Grizzlies, Blazers, Pelicans, Kings, Spurs. You throw the Suns in there if you want. And you basically do like a mini tournament to see who gets the 2 last spots. That'd be fun. A lot of people would watch. And it gets your 7-13 seeds involved. That means the only team in the West, the only 2 teams that wouldn't play any more games would be the T-Wolves and the Warriors. All right, so 13 of the 15 teams would play. Then you move over to the East, and you do the same thing. You basically tell the last 2 teams, the Hawks and the Cavs, you don't have to play anymore. And then you do a play-in tournament for Team 7 and 8. That would protect most of your TV money. But you could always involve all of them. You could say, all right, 7 teams, 7 through 15, that's 8 teams, right?
Well, yeah. I'll tell you, John, I think what kind of makes all of this when the dust actually settles and we feel like we're going to have games, each one of these leagues are going to have to be so creative to play out whether, you know, the regular season, what the playoff format's going to look like, how to make it enticing without fans. I know we're all going to be watching anyways, but, you know, there's obviously going to be some unique opportunities. Let's say that. Did you guys see a little bit earlier today that new layout? I saw Bob Nightingale from USA Today on MLB discussing. I mean, look at the division. It would be the West would be the Dodgers, the Angels, Giants,
Astros
in there. I mean, you know, like it, yeah, it does.
We're having Nightingale on the show tomorrow.
It's going to be so different that it will be fascinating. The draft was fascinating. The NFL draft was. We're watching Belichick from his kitchen.
Right.
Guys, the WNBA draft was up 130% in the ratings. Wow. People are getting ready to watch anything.
Yeah, people are hungry. People are hungry for stuff. And I think, you know, increasingly now, I don't know if you saw this today, but Orange County, the Board of Commissioners, voted to open. They voted to open Orange County. You know, increasingly, you know, John, you talk about the South Korean Baseball League as the test case. You know, Orange County is going to be a big test case for the rest of us. You know, does that go okay? Are we all right there? It feels like we're quickly moving to a time when we're not eliminating risk, but we're mitigating risk. Can't protect everybody, but can't protect everybody that goes out and partakes. Like I would say, if you're a senior, probably not smart at all to go out. But are we getting to a point where people are going to start venturing outside?
Mace, did everything open? Everything's open.
They say they've issued guidelines, but they voted to reopen. That's the headline. So I don't know exactly what those guidelines are, but the governor today said he's going to leave it up to the local municipalities on how they're going to open and what restrictions they're going to lift and how quickly they're going to do it. So, I mean, it's all going to be a gigantic test case that we're now living in. I mean, we all saw the beaches in Orange County this weekend, the beaches in Ventura. John, you played golf this weekend. I mean, people are starting to venture out, and we're probably, hopefully, inching our way towards some sense of normalcy. And when this thing breaks out, you know, once the science and the data and the geniuses and all the people are working at it start figuring it out, I mean, the first baseball is talking about late June, early July. Mm-hmm. You know, is that a possibility? Is that a real chance? That would be an unbelievable opportunity for baseball. It'll be there's an unbelievable hunger out there for any sports. As we know, the PGA has an event that they're going to play on June the 14th, I think. I don't usually watch golf. In fact, when I say I don't usually watch golf, it means I never watch golf, but I will probably watch that golf because I'm just hungry for some level of competition out there. So, you know, it's starting to feel like there are actual plans that are breaking out. You know, the NFL today, Sports Business Journal did a piece, I guess it was late yesterday, did a piece where they're saying, well, we're targeting mid-October with a February 28th Super Bowl. Now, to me, that's like, all right, you know, we're getting there. We're getting there. It's starting to feel like there's light at the end of the tunnel, because this will end. We knew all along this will end. And as long as the science and the data and the geniuses back it up, you know, life is going to move forward. Thank God.
Yeah, I think, Mace, the biggest thing is like just kind of listening to you right there. Think about just the optimism that could provide for anybody, right? And I'm not talking just sports fans, but just in general, like you feel like, okay, are we turning the corner a little bit? But everybody's very, you still have to be very cautious. And like you said, some of these cities are going to be, what happens in Orange County over the next 2 weeks could be a blueprint of what LA does, you know, just using that as an example. But just to have some of these stories coming out from a sports perspective, it does offer some optimism.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it, you do for the first time feel like, can they sort of start having those conversations? Can that be realistic in 30 days or 60 days, where I don't feel like that's been the conversation, at least for the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. And in a related issue, is Batman a superhero? Today's National Superhero Day, Alan. Is Batman a superhero?
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter. I voted.
How did you vote?
He's definitely a superhero.
Definitely.
What's his superpower, Sleazewa?
he's a genius, smart guy.
That's not a superpower. Bill Gates is a genius. He's a human.
But he didn't invent a car that flies and all that stuff.
I think you're underestimating Batman right now, John.
100%. 100%. By the way, and the people, with over 1,600 votes, 75% say Batman is definitely a superhero. And I would argue there's no difference between Bruce Wayne and Tony Stark. Both of them invented really smart stuff, and they are superheroes.
And neither one of them has a superpower.
Iron Man runs the Avengers, or
no
did,
until
he died.
Yeah, I was going to say, how'd that go?
Well, it lasted for years. Tony Stark was around for years. All right, more of Sliwa. Coming up next, it's Sliwa at Sunset, and it's Crosstalk, 710 ESPN. Yeah, it is Tuesday. That's what it is. You know, I always wonder now when I get up in the morning, what day is it? Mm-hmm. Somebody asked me what date it is. I'm like, I don't know. I think it's in the 20s, right? Aren't we in the April 20s?
Yeah, you're close.
20-something or other?
August
is it
4th.
Almost May?
It is.
It's next coming week. Up on May. Yeah, it's time just... do you think time's moving slower or faster?
I think time has stopped. It is not moving. Nothing's
time
happening.
Time is not moving. You're right. It is Groundhog Day. It really is. It's the Michael Keaton movie. I get up. I do my Spanish lessons. I do my yoga. I take my dogs for a walk.
Wait a minute.
I get
Did
ready
you just
for the
say
show.
Groundhog
show.
Day is a Michael Keaton movie?
Oh, Bill Murray movie. Sorry.
Yeah, maybe your Multiplicity
was Keaton Batman.
One of them
was Batman. He was one of the Batmans. He was not as good as Christian Bale. Christian Bale was the Batman.
And neither Christian Bale or you just what you
I'm
just
Batman.
Did Will you just did Will Arnett's Batman from the Lego
I'm
movie.
Batman. No, that's Christian Bale's. I'm Batman.
It's pretty good. That's the one.
Whereas Michael Keaton was, I'm Batman. Christian Bale was, I'm Batman. National Superhero Day. Who was your favorite superhero when you were growing up, Alan?
Probably Superman.
Exactly,
really?
Because he has actual superpowers.
Superman's so vanilla. He's such a vanilla superhero.
What am I talking about? He's for truth, justice, and the American way.
Yeah,
come
I know.
On.
It's just I always like the cooler, slicker one. I love
he's
Silver
trying
Surfer.
He's trying to hook up with Lois Lane. Come on.
Silver Surfer was great superhero. It was made of
Superman
metal.
Was great.
And Silver Surfer had a superpower. So there you go. He could surf through the air on a surfboard. That's
yes,
cool.
He could. Yes,
Batman,
he could.
Batman, you know, like
Batman, not a superhero.
He's got a utility belt. You know, come
so,
on.
So, Sliwa.
Want to do some trivia?
Oh, yeah, let's do some trivia. God, I love
trivia. Is it you and Lindsay?
Apparently, John is bowing out of all trivia.
Yeah, well, only the cheater Sliwa comes up with, because he fixes it, so you win. Matter of fact, I'll bet $1,000 on Mason, and I don't even know what the game is.
Okay, $1,000 on Mason.
Jeez,
John,
what does that
John,
say about
do
me?
Lindsay, it says
that the game is fixed, Lindsay, and you will not get a fair shot.
Do you think Mason and I game plan before trivia?
I think Mason spends exactly 0 seconds with you before trivia or any other appearance.
Yeah,
your entire relationship with Mason is based on the half hour we do at the end of this show.
This is really it. When you want to know how Alan and my relationship is, how we get along.
Yeah, despite
the
fact, Alan, that
together.
I have mentored you into the Laker world, you cheat in favor of Mason,
yeah,
which says everything you need to know about you. I say, go, Lindsay. I'd never be happier to lose $1,000.
I have worked with Sliwa for a good 3 or 4
days.
Months. He says 10 years and at least 30
yeah.
minutes.
Mason
a day.
Was under the impression when you'd worked with us for 10 years, Alan, that mm-hmm. you'd been here for 6 months.
He came to my
that's
house.
How
he
close
drank,
we are.
You drank my
yeah,
alcohol.
That's how close we are.
You did come to my house and drank my alcohol.
Mm hmm. That I've well, done for multiple years.
A lot of it, as I recall.
Mm hmm.
All right. So what's your?
Did Alan visit the Anything Goes corner? Was he over there with Freddie and everybody?
To think Freddie and the. I think he did. I think he was in the Everything Goes quarter.
Okay.
Yeah. Good for
good
you.
Good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Lindsay, I don't know what the game is, but you're going to lose. Go ahead, Sleep. What's the game?
Okay.
All right. Okay, Lindsay, so this is what it is. It's corporate slogans.
Corporate slogans.
I give the slogan. You guys give the corporation.
By the way, keep in mind, I'm terrible at Sleep games. I lose most
exactly.
of the time except for last night.
Exactly.
Okay.
So he's catered the game so you can win now. Okay. It's pathetic.
Corporate slogans.
All right, corporate slogans. You guys ready?
Yep.
Let's go.
Breakfast of champions.
Mason.
Mace?
Wheaties.
Okay. 1-0.
That was clearly me.
Yeah. No, you got it, Mace. Okay. You got it.
Well, what are you going to complain about when nobody is arguing with you about your...
Well, because I'm constantly complained about.
All right, 1-0. Here we go. Yep. Taste the rainbow.
Mason.
Lindsay.
Mason got that one.
Skittles.
I didn't.
John, who got that one? Was it Mason or Lindsay?
Oh, well, of course it was Mason. Yeah, okay, I didn't even hear Lindsay speak.
Snap, crackle, pop.
Lindsay!
Mason had it first.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Mason got in there.
Rice Krispies.
That's because I was using all my energy to scream it loudly, like John does, trying the Ireland approach.
Okay, 3-0. Finger looking good.
Mason. That is...
Come on, man.
One? Did I say that the right way?
Yeah.
Finger looking good?
No, you didn't. You said, but it's the slogan is finger licking good.
You don't know what it is. I
didn't get it. I know it now, but I did not get
it. Okay, Lindsay, what is it?
KFC.
There you go. 3-1.
Yep.
All right, 3-1. Think different.
Mason. That's Apple.
Give me my $1,000, Lindsay.
John, would you have got these?
Every one of them.
Oh, yeah, he would have got him.
But maybe you would have given him to Mason in some cockamamie scheme in your
no,
brain.
No, he would have. Ireland would have beat me at that. I'm bad at these games.
Do you guys want one against each other, just one?
No.
No, Ireland has given up on these games. He's given up on you, Sleazewa.
I haven't given up on the games. I've given up specifically on Sleazewa. I will play any game from Mason, Lindsay, or Funch.
By the way, the name Sleazewa is just fantastic.
I appreciate
it's well earned.
Thank you.
Because Mason said, Alan, please don't listen to Fast Track. Then Alan said, I swear I didn't. And then 5 minutes later admitted that he did.
And by the way, when all was said and done, got 4. He listened, got 4, and then admitted he lied about it.
You know, here I am.
Just
being
a whole ball of incompetence.
Being told to do bits, and then I just get demolished by everything that I do.
Speaking of bits, what bits have you prepared for the Sleazewa show tonight?
Mount Rushmore of Lakers beat writers.
Yeah, so Alan, they say...
That's a good one. Mount Rushmore of Lakers beat writers.
Who would all be on
there? Brad Turner's a lock.
No. Mark Heisler is a lock.
Turner is a lock?
Turner's a lock.
BT probably is a lock because he's the current longest reigning guy.
So he's got to be there.
Yeah.
And you have Heisler there.
Yeah, Heisler's there. He covered him for the Times before Brad did.
Do you want to go? Is Bill Arm there?
Hasn't been there. Bill Warham has never covered a playoff game, so I don't think you can put him on Mount Rushmore.
It's true. It's been sad for him.
Tim Brown, who's now an award-winning baseball writer, was a Laker beat writer. Scott Howard Cooper was a Laker beat writer.
But it's got to be current beat writers.
No. It can be anybody who ever... Heisler's not current. I think you got to put Tim Kawakami on there. He was a Laker beat writer who went on to start The Athletic. I think Kawakami makes it, and Howard Beck. Those are my 4: Heisler, Turner, Kawakami, Beck.
Wow!
I'm also very well represented ethnically. I've got an old guy. I got an African American guy.
Yep.
I got an Asian guy, and I got a guy who's now an internet mogul, and Howard Beck. All right, there.
Wait,
that's
since
my
when
four.
Is being old an ethnicity?
It is.
He said you had a
John,
great ethnic
John,
mix.
We're
and
getting
said,
very,
I got an old guy.
Apparently we're getting very ethnic, John.
No, that's true.
More ethnic every day.
You can't say anything.
All right, say what, do you have anything
I couldn't
real
say
tonight?
What actual group he represented.
Yeah, that's true. Do you have
Jason
anything
and
real
Ireland
tonight?
Getting more ethnic every day.
Dylan Hernandez from the LA Times, and nice. Then we got a nutritionist coming up at 8:30. She's going to teach us all what the hell we're supposed to be eating.
Oh, that sounds good. That sounds good. All right, coming up tomorrow, Bob Nightingale's going to join us. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. Don't forget our voicemail, 530-ESPN-710. You can hashtag Ask Mason in Ireland, and you can email me direct. I got a few read one on the show today. It's venicemace@gmail.com. All right, we're back tomorrow, 2:55 sharp. Alan Sleezewa is next. 710
what the
ESPN.
Hell?